Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club, presented by Core Golf on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club on a glorious Sunday morning here in Boston. I hope you're going to get a chance to play today. I'm going to get out like much later this afternoon. It's all part of my master plan. Tyler Milliken producing for us here this morning. Good morning, Tyler. You want to know my master plan? And you can borrow this plan for your late night Red Sox games. And I know they played early yesterday, Tyler. You and I were both watching every pitch there from Oakland, right?
Of course.
I didn't know they were playing yesterday afternoon. I asked Tyler if he stayed up late to watch the Red Sox last night. He said, well, they were on at 4 o'clock, Hardy. I'm like, okay, you don't have to be a jerk about it. But for these late-night West Coast games, you know, where do they take on Anaheim next, right? So you got some late games coming up here. I find this to be a wonderful idea when you have late-night things that you have to do and you need to stay awake. What you do is you go play golf in the afternoon. I'm teeing off like at 4:50 or something today. Oh, all the stuff with the kids during the day, and I did all my yard work. What you do is you play late afternoon, early evening golf, all right? And it does the opposite of tire you out. I mean, you're not out there, doing real actual physical labor. It's golf. It's as much an activity as it is anything else. It's something to keep the mind and the body engaged. It gives you a little energy. I'll get off the course, I don't know, probably sometime before 7 tonight. I don't know how many holes we'll get in. More than 9, I'm hoping. And then now you're reinvigorated, re-assimilated, and I'll be up and ready to watch the Celtics tonight, right? Oh, I'm so sleepy. It's been a long weekend. 8 o'clock, this game's going to... No. Go play golf late afternoon. I love late afternoon. I'm hesitant to talk about this too much. I don't know why more people don't do what I do. I go out and play like 4:35. Sometimes as we approach like the height of our daylight here, which will be happening here in what, another couple few weeks, longest day of the year, coming up at the end of June. Sometimes I don't tee off until after 6 o'clock. It's great. Get the course to yourself. Helps you stay awake at night. So, Tyler, you can use that for these late-night Red Sox games you got coming up later this week. Let's check in on a couple of the stories going on in golf right now. And, yeah, there is, a couple of big tournaments going on right now. I mentioned Ming-Jae Lee, who is leading the U.S. Women's Open right now. She's got a 3-stroke lead. We got the Memorial Tournament right now. Billy Horschel, who I've never quite understood the venom that is directed his way by fans and some people in and around the PGA Tour. I've always liked Billy Horschel's game. I think he's got an interesting personal story. And, yeah, he's a little feisty. You know, he shows some emotion on the golf course, gets mad, but at himself. I don't mind that. I really don't. And yeah, we had a chance to sit down with him years back at the I don't know if it was at the Deutsche Bank at the time or if it already switched over to the Dell Technologies Championship. But the guy couldn't be any better in person. And yeah, he is a classic fiery competitor. But without that other side that you get from some guys that kind of bleeds over to their to their personal life. Not that I've saw, and not that I've seen. So I like Horschel, and he's got a 5-stroke lead at the Memorial right now. He's up 5 strokes over Cameron Smith and Aaron Wise as these guys get their little window here. You know, now the shortened window in between the majors, between the PGA Championship and, of course, the U.S. Open, which will be starting here very, very soon in Brookline. Not this coming week, but the following week. We'll be talking about it all getting underway. I can't believe it. I mean, essentially, put it this way, next weekend we will be at the Country Club in Brookline setting up our equipment for our broadcast, which will be taking place later on the following week at the U.S. Open. That's it, you know. Week from tomorrow begin, like, the actual practice rounds. I think you can actually, there are people who bought tickets for, I think, Monday and Tuesday. And the tickets are still an issue with U.S. Open in terms of getting in and getting a chance to see what's going on. And I'm going to have more on that later on in the show in terms of, like, the secondary market and what the USGA has done as a means to, you know, get people in who really, really want to go. But it's coming up. I can't believe that it's already upon us. Like, we're a week and a half out from the start of the U.S. Open there at the Country Club in Brookline. But really, the big story from golf this week is Kevin Na, who has effectively resigned from the PGA Tour and is now going to be an LIV Golf Series guy. Kevin Na, who a lot of people know as the guy who likes to walk in his putts. He's the guy, if on his shorter putts especially, 4 or 5 footers, if it's tracking a foot out from the hole, he is already bending down and getting ready to, you know, pluck it out of the hole before it drops. Okay, that's how casual and even some hardcore golf fans know him. Now, he has won 5 times on the PGA Tour. So he's not a dog. He's not a scrub. He's not a guy just out there, you know, trying desperately to hold on to his tour card. The guy can play. Well, he announced yesterday he is resigning so that he will not face any discipline or legal action because he wants to play in the LIV Golf Invitational Series. Kevin Na ranked 33rd in the world. Think about it that way. When we talk about best players in other sports, and you talk about the top football players, baseball players, basketball players, hockey players, when you get to 33, these are still household names in, you know, the quote unquote, you know, 4 major sports. So Kevin Na is a household name among golf fans. He's gone. He says, and here's his quote, he wants the freedom to play wherever I want, and exercising my right as a free agent gives me that opportunity. But he went on to say, to stay on the PGA Tour, I have to give up my right to make those choices. And if I exercise my right to choose where and when I play, then I can't be a PGA Tour player without facing some kind of discipline. So I resign. Not an easy decision. One I don't take lightly. I hope the current policies change and I'll be able to play on the PGA Tour again. So there are 13 players who are listed in the field for the first LIV golf event. And it starts on Thursday at the Centurion Club, which is outside of London. Dustin Johnson, he's playing. Ian Poulter, he's playing. Lee Westwood, Louis Oosthuizen, Sergio Garcia. Now, I was rooting for Sergio to win the Masters a few years ago. And I had at one time on this show, you know, we've been doing the Sports Up Golf Club now for 10 years. And I have said on this show multiple times in years past that he was the best player who would never win a major. And then he goes and gets his green jacket. But I'll say this, he seems content to have that green jacket, and he's not really, he's not interested in more majors. Okay, great. Guy won the Masters, Sergio. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a fantastic golfer. to me, this is the big issue for LIV golfers and whatever discipline they face as a result. It is their ability and their opportunity to win major championships. Now, I had this epiphany last night when I was talking to somebody about this. Because, you know, what side do you fall on as a golf fan? Should PGA Tour players be allowed to go play on this LIV Tour, right? And initially you say, well, sure. You know, what difference does it make? And then I have been on the PGA Tour side of this before also. You know, as so many, you know, players have expressed their wishes to do whatever they want and have control of their own lives and careers, they should be able to go play wherever they want. And believe me, there are a lot of guys on the PGA Tour who have very, without getting political about it, very conservative viewpoints about, you know, everything, including, you know, their business and financial practices. Okay. So to me, if they could just take a tiny view, not a 30,000 foot view, go up 100 feet and look at it. Look at from the PGA Tour side. If you think along those lines, in terms of the free market and being able to do what you want, be in control of your own career, well, shouldn't the PGA Tour also have the right to run their tour the way they want to and say, well, if you're going to play on our tour, you can't play on anyone else's? Right? You may not like it, but, you know, that is essentially a business operating the way they want to operate without having to succumb to the pressures of everybody and everything. No, we're going to do this thing the way we want. Those are the ramifications. I would say this, though, and this was my epiphany last night. If the PGA Tour really doesn't want these guys to go play in the LIV series, I don't think they have to do a damn thing. They themselves, except for one, and that is say, hey, if you're going to be in this other golf series, then you can't play in the PGA Championship. You know, and this is for PGA Tour guys who don't go off and play anywhere else. And a lot of players might say, fine, it's out of the four majors, that's the one I care the least about. But if you're the PGA Tour, you can let the USGA, the Royal and Ancient, who controls and runs the British Open, and Augusta National, who runs the Masters, not a PGA Tour event or a USGA event or a Royal and Ancient or anything else. The Masters is its own separate entity. It's an invitational. It's a private club with their own private tournament, and they make their own rules. But they work closely in conjunction with the USGA and the Royal and Ancient. Let those three entities be the real bad guys in this. Let them say, and they've already done it. They've already done it. The Royal and Ancient has already said, oh, no, if there are guys who are participating in the LIV, then no, we're not necessarily interested in having them be a part of the British Open. Let the USGA and the Royal and Ancient and the Masters say, actually, our criteria for getting into our tournaments is more about is more closely related to PGA Tour and European Tour rankings than anything else. The LIV really don't know what that is. Now, that's going to be a problem for the USGA more so than anyone. And here's why. The USGA is the most, and the US Open is the most democratic of all the major championships. If you're good enough, you can play in the US Open. That's all there is to it. I mean, you got to go through qualifying, and we're going to do some of the stories about people who are trying to qualify for the U.S. Open this year, and include some big names in golf like Ricky Fowler, who are not automatically exempt. They're trying to earn their way into the U.S. Open by virtue of winning qualifying tournaments. So it could be an issue for the USGA in keeping guys out of the U.S. Open, but I think the British has more wiggle room. The Masters absolutely has some more wiggle room. The PGA Tour should let them be the bad guys. Say, fine, go play in the LIV Golf Series. You can still participate in PGA Tour events. You're not going to be able to play in our major championship. in the PGA Championship. And, oh, by the way, you might want to check in with the USGA and the Royal and Ancient and the Masters, see if you're going to get invited to the Masters if you go off and play an LIV golf. It's starting to sound a little bit like collusion and conspiracy. Oh, well, heaven forbid that ever happens in sports. It happens all the time. But for Kevin Na, he's made his decision. Nope. He's made almost $40 million in earnings just from the PGA Tour. From his wins and his top 25s and his top 10s. He's just had it. He wants to go play in this other series, and he's willing to give up his PGA Tour status as a result. We'll keep an eye on this. We'll see what other players end up doing, and I guess maybe more interestingly, see what discipline they face as a result of participating in the LIV Golf Series. But this story isn't going away anytime soon. All right. Two things on the show this morning that we're going to get to before we get back to, the news of the week, including the big match between Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and things happening with the U.S. Open and the qualifying. Two things on the show this morning. Andy Bassett from the Travelers, huge tournament the week after the U.S. Open, Cromwell, Connecticut. He's going to be joining us next to talk, and we've had Andy on the show before. It'll be great. Talk about the Travelers Championship. And a little bit later on, Luke Cantillo from Core Golf in Natick. He's one of the coaches out there. He'll be talking to us about instruction here on the show today. So all of that coming up this morning right here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club, presented by Core Golf on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're on par with more of the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy, presented by Core Golf on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Joining us now on the Sports Hub Golf Club is Andy Bassett. He is the Executive Vice President and Chief Administrative Officer at Travelers. And, of course, we're talking about the Travelers Championship, June 20th through the 26th, Cromwell, Connecticut. Andy, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hardy, it's great to talk with you, too. And we're really excited about our event the week of the 20th and from the 23rd to the 26th of June. And the feel that we're going to have is going to be unbelievable. So we're excited. It's going to be a great summer of golf in New England.
So the last time we talked about this, and I think about this, you know, year in and year out, the Travelers is in, you know, one of these unique spots the week after a major. Of course, this year it's the week after the U.S. Open. And not only does it not hurt you guys in terms of your commitments and the players who are going to be there, I think in some way it helps, and maybe it even helps this year that they're going to be in such proximity to each other.
It does. You know, it's funny. We've been, this is our 16th year as title sponsor of the Travelers Championship. And when we first took it over, everybody said to me, because I had negotiated the contract with the PGA Tour, and they said, oh, geez, you're in big trouble. You're the week after the U.S. Open. Well, give me a challenge and I'll match it. And so we have worked really hard, and, you know, it's about developing relationships with the players, treating them well, treating their wives and their caddies and their kids well and their families. And, you know, it's just basic human nature. I think it's treat people the way you want to be treated. And it's worked very, very well. And every year when the U.S. Open is not so close every year like in Brookline. So, we charter a jet, 737 or 757 or whatever. And we fly all the players and their caddies and their families out from wherever the U.S. Open is. So this year, you're right. It's a home game and, you know, all of this is really helpful to us.
Yeah. I mean, you've already got commitments from Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world. You've got Justin Thomas, who's coming off another major championship. I think Rory McIlroy has already committed. So it's not it's not only, you're going to see the best players in the world, but for, let's face it, people who just can't get tickets to the U.S. Open, this is a great event to go down and see the week following if you're unable to get tickets to Brooklyn.
Hardy, you're so right, because we've got every top player in the world coming to play. And, you know, we announced a lot of them earlier on, and we've got great relationships. And, you know, I saw Scotty at the Players' Championship, and here I was sitting in the back of a golf cart talking. And I said, man, I love your game. I love the way you approach golf. And I wish I could get more of that into my game. But, you know, I think all of these guys, to the point, and Justin Thomas, and I love his dad, and they're just such good people. And Rory is just the salt of the earth. He and his wife and their little daughter, it's just a great family. You know, the list goes on and on. Patrick Cantlay, you know, Patrick, right back in when he was at, you'll get this right, or UCLA, right? He shot a 60 in 2011.
Oh.
That's unbelievable. The lowest round by an amateur here at the Travelers Championship. And I never forget that night coming off, and he's like in total shock, and everybody's running around the course because it was getting dark. And you know, this is like 11 years ago, and I remember it like today. But Patrick, and look what he's done now. Patrick wins the Tour Championship. I mean, we've got all the best guys in the world coming down. It's going to be a great field, and we haven't even announced everybody that's coming down because they keep piling on. But if you can't get a ticket to Brookline, you can get plenty of tickets to the Travelers and come on down.
Yeah. So again, this is Andy Bissett. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Administrative Officer at Travelers Championship. The week after the U.S. Open, it's at TPC River Highlands, Cromwell, Connecticut. Charity has always been a big part of what you do and what is done on the PGA Tour. So who are the benefactors, and how much money are you looking to raise this year, Andy?
Well, you know, Heidi, we have over 125 local charities that benefit. Last year, when we only could have 10,000 fans a day, not 40 to 50 that we normally have, we raised over $2.2 million for 125 charities.
Unbelievable.
You know, the amount of good that this tournament has done since we took over in 2007, we've contributed more than $22.5 million to over 800 local charities. And since the tournament was actually born in 1952, so thank God there's something older than I am, it has raised over $46 million. And so it's so cool. It's so important for the communities, for the organizations that need the help. And, you know, our primary beneficiary continues to be Paul Newman's Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, which serves really seriously ill children with cancer, sickle cell anemia, and the list goes on and on. And so we've been a big, big partner with them, both Travelers corporately and the Travelers Championship now, oh gosh, for an excess of 15 years. And so, you know, but we do so many other special things with Connecticut Special Olympics, with the First Tee of Connecticut, the Malta House of Care. There's animal rescues. I mean, we do a lot with animal rescues. And Amanda Brenner, used to be Ballyonis, now on CBS.
Sure.
She's a great partner and friend. And she has a charity called Puppies and Golf. And it's the coolest thing. I have to tell you, the golf balls, I'm going to send you some. The golf balls are Callaway golf balls with a little puppy paw on them.
Oh, that's right. Up my alley. Cool. You're just at my two favorite. I've got a T-shirt that said, I like dogs, golf, and maybe three people. That's pretty much my life motto. Yeah.
That's great. I love it. I want that T-shirt.
Yeah. You send me the golf balls, I'll send you one of those T-shirts, Andy. How's that?
You got them. They're coming. But anyway, so our charities are really important to us, but it's also the good that it does for the community and how we bring the community together. And I know we talked a little bit about the Charlie Sifford Centennial Celebration.
Oh, that's right. That's this year.
Yeah. And the PGA Tour was talking to Nathan Grube, our tournament director, and what could we do? And then the Charlie Sifford Foundation and his family were trying to think of things to do at golf tournaments. And I have to tell you, there's a young man here, Greg Jones, who is an executive in different companies around, but he heads up a group called Pins and Skins Golf. And it's a group of diverse players that go out every week and he put this together. And we cemented the two together, that the tour was thinking about a Charlie Sifford Centennial Celebration of some sort. And Greg was putting together this golf outing at Weathersfield. And about a month and a half ago, Greg and I talked, and I said, gee, how about if we married the two? So actually we did. And at Weathersfield Country Club, where Charlie Sifford actually won his first victory on the PGA Tour in 1967, is where this event will be played on on Tuesday, the 21st, June 21st. And it's going to be a great outing. CBS and the Golf Channel are really excited about being out with us and covering it. But, you know, I think it's just a great celebration of diversity in golf. And, you know, Charlie won twice on tour here in the L.A. Open. And this was his first one. And it's a great, great celebration of the history of golf and the diversity of golf and all the benefits from this, which is really cool.
Yeah.
We'll go to the Dr. Charles L. Sifford Scholarship Fund, which is going to help cover tuition for students who attend historically black colleges and universities, or for minority students who focus their education on golf management programs. So that's kind of like what, I mean, that's what we're doing. We're very excited that the family told us last week that this is the biggest thing that's being done so far this year to celebrate Charlie and what all he did for golf and his 100th. Yeah, what would have been his 100th birthday this year.
Well, there's so much going on. And then you've got the Pro-Am with Bill Murray coming in on Wednesday the 22nd. You can be honest with me, Andy. He's the wild card. I mean, everyone's got a Bill Murray story, it seems, you know, with golf or if you ever were around him. But you really don't know what you're going to get, do you?
The best Bill Murray story I could ever tell would be one of the years he played us was when we had like 105 degree heat. And during the Celebrity Pro-Am, people were dropping, they were getting dehydrated, and Bill's caddy was dehydrated and not in very good shape when he finished. Bill Murray sat on the trunk of a car with Nathan and I for about an hour to make sure that his caddy was taken care of and that he got the fluids, because we have an on-site emergency room that St. Francis Hospital runs for us, and it's phenomenal. And they gave him intravenous, and they took care of him, and he was fine. But I got to tell you, Bill Murray hung around. Of all the Bill Murray stories, Bill Murray hung around for at least an hour, making sure that his caddy was okay and that he got the proper medical care. And then we have Chris Berman and Dan Orlovsky over, and then Tim Wakefield's coming from Boston. Of course, I always Google and goggle when Tim comes, because he was like, well, Tim Wakefield, he's like my guy. But I still have a couple of slots open. So if you know any of the boys from the Bruins, the Celtics are kind of busy right now, so I don't want to bother them. But, you know, if Marchand or McAvoy or Pastrnak, if they want to tee it up, they can call me.
Oh, sure, yeah. You know what? Hold on. Let me conference them in right now. I got all those guys on speed dial. Yeah. Golfer now, Andy? What are we doing? I gotta round out your Pro-Am. Come on, man. What are you doing?
That'd be pretty good. Hey, Hardy, we can work a deal for next year, for 2023.
Here's how gullible and stupid I am. I thought you were gonna ask me to play for a second. Oh my God, talk about a dose of reality.
Oh, you can come play. Hey, you can come play with me at New Seabury anytime, any weekend.
Ooh,
and
okay.
We'll have a lot of fun. That's an open invite.
Yeah, we'll do a home and home. You can come play the Cape Club in Sharon, and then I'll head down to New Seabury. Yeah, that'd be great. All right, good times.
And then next year we'll figure out the Celebrity Pro-Am and then go from there.
Very loose definition of the word celebrity.
No. I listen to you as I drive most weekends from Hartford to New Seabury and back. You know, I listen to you, so I know exactly. You're a great show.
I appreciate it. Thank you. So, listen, people need to get their tickets for this, but they're not going to be as hard to get as U.S. Open tickets. So, once again, if you want to watch the best players in the world, essentially right around the same time as the U.S. Open, the Travelers Championship taking place, it's going to be the week after the U.S. Open. It's in Cromwell, Connecticut. Andy Bissett is with us. He's the Executive Vice President, Chief Administrative Officer at Travelers. Again, June 20th through the 26th. We got a website for all this stuff, Andy. Is there like a one-stop shop for people to get all the info?
Yeah, you can go to travelerschampionship.com.
Okay.
It's that simple.
All right. Very good. Andy, always good to talk to you. Let's play some golf here soon, and I'll send that T-shirt, and if you want to send me a sleeve of balls, we'll call it even.
I will send them to you today.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, Hardy. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good day.
Stay tuned for more golf. The Hendrix Gin Sports Hub Golf Club, presented by Core Golf on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, More of the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy, presented by Core Golf on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club and back at Core Golf with Luke Cantelo, one of the instructors here at Core Golf. Luke, you do something here that I wasn't even aware that you did beyond academy purposes, which is like group lessons for players. This is a, I don't want to scare people away, it is a high-end golf practice facility. This is not a place where if you want to come bang a bucket of balls, I guess you can, but this is really for getting better at the game. Kind of contrary to that image is the idea of doing lessons in groups, but you do that here, Luke, at Core.
Absolutely. You know, like a lot of questions we sometimes get outside of the academy is, do you teach the general public? And we do, and we're actually really busy, you know, and to the point where we want to introduce more group style lessons and more group style clinics to the general public to invite new people to the game and also have specific programs that cater to people looking to want to improve their driving or looking to want to improve their short game or their putting. So, you know, we have group sessions that are for we will be implementing group sessions for beginners to get them into the game, to have some fun and to introduce them to the facility itself. And then we have more specified group lessons for people really trying to hone different parts of their game.
Good.
Here, you, what's up? I don't know. Check if it's inside. If it's inside. He didn't tell me. He left. Just check if it's inside.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
All right.
We'll pick it up from different areas. Okay. I want to talk to you more about the different areas of group instruction, kind of getting hyper-focused in those. But just let me tell you, Luke, I get a couple of common questions. Hardy, what kind of club should I buy? I don't know. You know, go get fit. You know, go. But it's intimidating to walk into a pro shop and see 50 different styles of drivers. The other question I get is, where do I go for lessons? How do I do it? Because not that you're an intimidating guy necessarily, Luke, you're very friendly, but it's intimidating, especially for a beginning golfer, to even operate under the belief that I'm going to stand there and try and swing a golf club and hit a golf ball in front of a pro. That's intimidating. I think some of that intimidation is lessened and some of the pressure is off in the group dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, personally, I've given group lessons all over the world. So I've over many years, I've been able to sort of hone the craft a little bit and, you know, get people to lighten up and loosen up. And that's the key to it, right? You want to make people feel comfortable. And, you know, what we do here is we introduce some light stuff. We talk to them, people, we introduce ourselves, we create a bit of a camaraderie, and just things tend to relax from there. And, you know, sometimes I make mistakes myself, like on purpose, and just say like, well, that's what happens when some people do this and we try to do this. So it's, you know, it's, there's little tricks of the trade that we have here as a coaching staff that really helps break the ice and helps people be more comfortable.
Sure. And I honestly believe that in that group setting, you get some mental time down. If you and I are doing a one-on-one lesson, and I've done them, you know, just in even shorter lessons with Chris and some of the guys out here, I feel like if I lapse in concentration for a moment, he's going to think I'm not paying attention or I don't respect his time, and it's not. But people have a finite amount of attention span, especially when they're learning something new and something difficult like golf. But in a group setting, you can give yourself a 10-second mental vacation maybe while you're off working with another student for a moment.
Absolutely. You know, the cool thing is when I leave someone and go to work with another person, I'm still, my eyes are everywhere on the lesson tee. I kind of don't miss a thing generally. But the cool thing is when you leave someone alone, you can see whether they're working through it themselves. Like, because at the end of the day, the coach unfortunately can't be there while we'd love to be, but generally we're here coaching. So we can't spend all the time with the students on the golf course and so on. So when you leave them alone, it's their time to kind of learn, their time to have a break if they need to, as you say. But it gives them that time to experience what you've just talked about, learn from it themselves, but also the hawks that are our golf coaches can still see if they're doing it correctly. So we can go back, right? We can go back a few minutes later and go, okay, you know, you did this and this. Or if they do something well when we're with somebody else and they hit a great shot, if you say to them, great shot, Jim, or, you know, Jenny, or whoever it is, from 4 or 5, you know, hitting bays away, they go, oh, that was great. I got it. Okay. He's looking at me like he's still in, he can still see what I'm doing while he's still with other people. And I think that's just another dynamic that helps.
Do you ever experience, and to me, this could go one of two ways, some instruction within the group. You're off working with someone else and you see a couple of students helping each other out.
Yeah, all the time. And, you know, look,
it's, my first instinct is like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, thanks to things like YouTube and all that sort of stuff, people feel like they're their own Butch Harmon. Yeah, so
what do you mean? I learned how to hit a 280-yard stinger thanks to YouTube. I haven't done it yet, but I've watched the video.
Right. Yeah, you know how to do it. You just haven't done it, right? So, but yeah, no, I think, you know, the cool thing about technology and in the current world is people are far more informed. Or in terms of the golf swing in their own game, they feel like they're more informed. And I think, but, you know, I think having that interaction one-on-one or having their interaction in a group setting just allows people to get a better understanding of what they're doing. I think sometimes when people tell somebody what to do, it's maybe not exactly what they should be doing. But, you know, you can't hurt them for trying, right? You can't hurt them for being helpful, right?
Now, people learn in different ways. So if you have a group of, say, 5 students, you may have one that's a visual learner. You may have one that learns through watching and repetition. You may have one that just, no, give me that keyword to focus in on. So how do you, as an instructor, identify the different learning habits of different students and all serve them within the same class?
Yeah, it's become a little easier over time, but, like, you can... I'll be describing something, and if someone's eyes tend to wander, it's like, okay, that's not for that person. Or, you know, and if someone's like chomping at the bit, and you can kind of see it through body language and through general sort of interest, maybe. But but no, I mean, over time you can go, okay, this person just needs it to be very simple. This person, I could talk to this person for the rest of the day and they'd want more, if that makes sense. So it comes with understanding the individual, you know, that initial interaction, that icebreaker as well, kind of helps as well. You just get a gauge for people and what they need. And then you just, you know, without thinking, you kind of just tailor it to what they need on the day.
What do you do with a guy like me who, once they hit the one good shot, I say, I got it. Because chances are you don't got it yet, but I'm convinced of being cured very, very quickly.
Oh, good for you. That's great.
But it comes from a very false sense of confidence.
No, I just say, you know, I'm always very positive with people when they feel like they've got something right. And then it's like, okay, do it again. See what happens.
But, no. I'm not going to do it again. Once I get it that one time, you're going to see me happy and I'm free to leave, right?
Okay. Yeah, you either leave or let's go and do something else. Let's go and chip and putt or something like that. Like if somebody's like that, it's like, okay, if they feel good, if they feel like they've achieved something, then that's fine. We'll just leave it right there and we'll go and do something else.
You end up being a cheerleader for some people sometimes, don't you? Come on.
It's part of coaching, right? Yeah. You know, telling people, you know, how good they are sometimes is a help, you know, like...
So you have to lie.
Well, no. Like, some of the coaches on tour, right? You know, when they're going to the majors and they're watching them warm up, you know, to go out and play, if those coaches are telling them about their swing and the technique of their swing, they're going to wreck them, you know? So... You know, but you know, I worked for Butch Harmon, and he was very much just telling jokes, making them laugh, making them feel comfortable before they go out and play. And you know, sometimes the most important rounds of their lives. So it's knowing what the person wants at that time, and you know, certain coaches are very good at that.
Right, Luca Cantalo, yeah. I got your last name correct, is an instructor here at Core Golf, where group lessons are available. Maybe not right away because they are gaining in popularity. I think it's a great idea, Luke, especially at a high-end facility like this, to where you can get a world-class instruction, but in a less intimidating atmosphere with a few other golfers, for all the reasons that we talked about, but really just to be able to practice at a place like this. It's a great idea. I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. No, it's just a joy to be here. The facility's great, and there's a lot of the public that are enjoying it, and we're doing great with lessons and enjoying teaching people as well.
Luke, thanks for the time. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've got the right club for your swing. This is the Hendricks Gin Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy, presented by Core Golf on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club, mentioned earlier that for the U.S. Open, there is now a resale site, usopen.com/tickets. You'll be able to buy and sell daily tickets. And for people who are having trouble getting them, well, this is the official USGA ticket resale marketplace. So once again, if you want tickets for the gallery, the grandstand, the garden featuring Corona Premier and Trophy Club, all that, usopen.com/tickets. That is your official resale marketplace. No one's paying me to tell you about this. I'm just doing it as a service. I'm just telling you because I know a lot of people. A lot of people asking me for tickets. I'm like, I don't have any tickets. Sorry. It's the hottest ticket in town right now, that and the Celtics. With regard to the U.S. Open, check out Ben Volen's U.S. Open notebook. I believe it was in yesterday's or maybe Friday's Boston Globe, and I'm sure there's more. I have not looked at this morning, the Sunday Globe yet, but he talks a lot about the LIV series. And, you know, players who are exempt in this year's U.S. Open, you know, they're in, like Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, Sergio Garcia, Kevin Na, who has already resigned from the PGA Tour. What does that mean for the U.S. Open? Like, is one connected to the other? And he also does a pretty good breakdown. My friend Steve Conley texted me during the opening segment here this morning, and I didn't have a chance to read and see what he talked about and relay it to you. But Volen writes the same thing on Friday, that the PGA of America is essentially a different arm than the PGA Tour. Seth Waugh is the CEO of the PGA of America. He spoke out against the LIV a couple of weeks ago, and they are in charge of putting on the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup. And it's slightly different. It is different than the PGA Tour, which is run by Jay Monahan. But, you know, they're all connected but separate. USGA, Royal and Ancient, PGA of America, PGA Tour. How are they? How is it going to affect these guys who have already committed to playing in one of these LIV events when it comes to the U.S. Open? Like, is it going to factor in at all? Case by case basis, essentially, is what we're being told right now. They're still considering revoking the invitations to players. But as I said at the top of the show, they pride themselves in being the most open championship in the world, with a lot of the field coming from local and regional qualifiers. So we'll find out in the coming days. Speaking of those local and regional qualifiers, man, there's a lot of local people who are still in the hunt, a lot of local players trying to get in. We still have Danny Woodhead, the former Patriots running back, who made it through his local qualifying at his home course in Omaha. He's playing in the Springfield, Ohio qualifier. Keegan Bradley, he's in. Scott Stallings, he's in. There's a lot of good players, though, who are still trying to get their way into the U.S. Open. A lot of names you would recognize from the PGA Tour and Opens of the past. They're still trying to work their way into the field. Also, want to tell you briefly here at the end of the show, the Mass Open starts on Wednesday. Longmeadow Country Club, 54-hole event. It's going to finish up on Friday. MassGolf.org has the tournament preview, and then you can follow their coverage throughout the week. MassGolf does a great job with the leaderboards and all the stories and all the events going on and the news from the Mass Open, which once again starts on Wednesday. Longmeadow Country Club, MassGolf.org. They got a new TV show, The Mass Golfer. It's going to be on Nesson. Okay. Well, follow Mass Golf on social media to find out when it's going to be on and all that stuff. And they're also going to do all-day coverage of U.S. Open qualifying tomorrow on Monday, June 6th, massgolf.org for these players trying to get to the country club. It all starts not tomorrow. It's essentially a week from tomorrow, practice rounds, and then we're like a week and a half out from the U.S. Open. Can't believe it's here already. All right. Thanks to everybody for being on the show this morning. Andy Bissett from the Travelers Championship. Also, Luca and all of our friends at Core Golf. You know, you got to peek behind the curtain in that interview. Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes you have technical glitches. that, yeah, you know, hey, Tyler, it's radio, man. Lives aren't at stake. You know, I'm just going to take that one on the chin, so to speak, and say, all right, we'll clean it up next week. Thanks,
mistake everybody. Counter number one.
Tyler, you doing a mistake counter on me?
Of course.
How many from the show today? That's one big one. How many other ones do you have?
I don't want to embarrass you.
Okay, I appreciate it, buddy. Listen, we'll talk about this. No, we won't. On Zolak and Bertrand tomorrow. But otherwise, thanks for listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Be back next Sunday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.